Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
When I put myself back in my fan's jersey growing up, rooting for the teams I rooted for, just to hear that would make me sick to my stomach. The chants in the background, those are Ravens fans, obviously. That's Baltimore, your arch rival. To hear the laughter in the booth at the Steelers, to hear Kirk Herbstreit rightfully questioning their heart. Where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers we're talking about. I would be sickened by it. Honestly, I got goosebumps listening to that, but for all the wrong reasons, like reverse goosebumps, Bob. It made me sick. I have an opening here I want to get to, but first I want to check in on your well-being and our friend City Limits to my left, fresh off his trip to Florida. Everybody well?
Everybody's good. Yeah, I know that Austin had a good time based on the videos.
How about you, Bob? You're the first man I want to check in on.
I'm doing fine. Good? I'm just cranking along as usual, you know, doing what we do every single day. And
it's wonderful
hopefully
to
having
see
more
you.
Fun than we've had over the last couple of weeks, because this has not been what you would have expected, although many of us believe it probably was what you should have expected based on how they were playing.
I'm in a deep and dark depression, Joe, and I appreciate your inquiry.
That's a good answer. Thank you for the moment of levity.
Can I clear the air on one thing?
His Penn State team and his Steelers both went up and or down in flames.
Which was more painful for you?
Oh my gosh, the Penn State loss. Yeah. I was there in the second row watching the game, and to see what I saw, as soon as the ball left Drew Aller's hand, I like yelled, oh no. I sat and I wrote this in a story I wrote. I felt like I was Pete Carroll at the goal line with Russell Wilson throwing the pick, because as soon as the ball left his hand, I knew what was about to happen.
Were you of the belief they should have just run the ball and played for overtime?
No, I was completely fine with them going for it. They have a really good kicker, and I think one big play to Tyler Warren. Once they ran it, Bob, and got 13 yards, I was completely okay with them being aggressive. One big play to Tyler Warren could do it. But Drew Aller, who was known for protecting the football, did not protect the football and had a horrible game.
Well, I'm glad that you had a nice trip anyway.
It was a good trip. I'm glad
it's wonderful to see you as well. Gentlemen, there's one story in this town today, and that's Mike Tomlin. That's the story. Jerry Dulac reporting that Tomlin will be back. And then the story becomes Art Rooney. But in the meantime, it's Mike Tomlin. And I have a number related to that story, Bob, and that number is one that I can't get over. And it comes in the form of a score, 73-0. And no, I'm not talking about the famous 1940 NFL championship game.
Or the Pitt game. Who do they play and lose to? Wasn't that the same
that
score?
That might have been Ohio State.
Johnny
I forget.
Majors?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, neither of those. That was when the Bears beat Washington by that memorable score. No, I'm talking about the Steelers' cumulative first quarter score during their six-game playoff losing streak. The cumulative score in the first quarters dating to the 2016 NFC title or AFC title game is 73-0. And if that doesn't speak to an unprepared, non-competitive team in the biggest of moments, I don't think anything ever could, honestly. 73-0. And that's what I'm thinking about this morning, what I've been thinking about getting ready for this show. I've been as critical of Mike Tomlin as just about anybody around here. I also have tremendous respect for Mike Tomlin and his record and him as a person, but I have been critical. And I've said and I've written that I wouldn't have extended him for the lengths of time that Art did, especially this last time, which made no sense. I've said things like, well, I wouldn't rip Art if he got rid of Tomlin. I've said a trade wouldn't be a bad idea. I've sat across from Ron Cook, even as long as 5-6 years ago when he would try to bait me in one of our arguments because he was a Tomlin defender for a long time until the end of last season. He would say, so are you saying they should fire him, Joe? Are you saying they should fire him? I'm not blaming Ron for that. It was good sports talk. And I would say, no, I'm not saying that yet. I'm not saying they should fire him. I sat across from Andrew Filippone here 3 weeks ago. And he said, every year, Joe, you have the same column is, have we had enough yet? Intimating that when am I going to write or say that it's time to move on from Tomlin? And I acknowledge that because I've never been ready to say it fully. I've been extremely judicious when it comes to calling for actually cutting ties with Tomlin. I don't go around calling for firings like, you know, an emotional fan 5 minutes after a game. It's a big deal to come on here and say that. But this has been building now for, well, about 8 years. And we all saw the game the other night. We all just heard what Kirk Herbstreit said. They didn't show up. They quit on their coach. We know the numbers by now. 8 years without being competitive in a playoff game, never mind winning one. Longest since one a streak that began in the 60s. They're the longest, tied for the longest playoff losing streak in all of football. And yeah, 73-0. So I've never said these words before because I never really, Bob, was convinced it was the right time. And because it is a big deal when we're talking about a guy who's represented this city the way he has, respected across the NFL, likely to be in the Hall of Fame. I was willing to wait, I think, because I think Mike Tomlin deserved the benefit of that doubt, even if barely. But I'll say it now because it's obvious to me. It's obvious like any breakup would be like, wow, it really is time. We saw the game the other night. We saw a team quit on Tomlin. We saw an unprepared team from the start again. The season ends the same again. There's very little hope going into next season. So I'll say it. The Steelers need to fire Mike Tomlin. That's the first time I've said that. And it sort of makes me sick and sad to say it, but it's true now. It's true. And if that needs to come in the form of moving on the way the Patriots did with Belichick, where you make it clear that we're going to move on, but it'll be respectful. We won't announce it as a firing. If they can find a way to make a trade. I know he has a no trade clause. All of that. We've just reached that place. And it couldn't be more clear to me that this is the time. It's emphatically obvious, Bob, as obvious as a score of 73-0. We've reached that place, and it looks like Art won't have the fortitude to do what needs to be done. Your thoughts, the floor is yours.
If you remember last year this time, I was of the belief that they were just going to let this whole thing play out. He had a year left on a contract. I thought that was going to be the smart move to make, just because it is and was at the time. Just see what happens. And then you can clear yourself of any further commitment to your head coach if you wanted to do that. But they clearly didn't want to do that. But it was interesting last year when Art spoke to me and others. His take on why head coach is important is he likes to judge teams on how they finish the season, how they get better as the years go on. Well, last year, if you want to say that, you can. But it was clear to me still they weren't going to be the team that I think the Steelers – want to be, even though they had won three in a row, gotten the playoffs. I don't think there's any surprise that they got eliminated pretty quickly. So I thought they should have made that play, and they would have cleared where they are now. They could have done anything they wanted to now. But by sticking to that and extending it 3 years, there was no way they were going to ever get off of that. 16 years or $16 million, $48 million for 3 years. They weren't going to do it. So that's where they are. So he's coming back. And I think now the thing should happen is – the only thing that can happen is that you got to figure out a way to take some of the power away from him. If what we know is what we know, that he has a big hand in what they do in terms of drafting, in terms of signing, in terms of developing, then something's got to change. I've said for years, I mean, I, like you, I have the utmost respect for Mike Tomlin. I think he has done everything that you would expect someone, you know, first year head coach to last this long. But I think the time has come to challenge him on his coaching selections. You can't just have people in here who have associations with you or you know or you like or whatever the reason may be. They've got to be a lot better at what they do, because we've seen too much lack of development on key players. So to me, that's what has to happen next. And then you have a whole bunch of decisions with players, who comes, who stays. I mean, that's going to go on and on. And I don't know if there's any clear answer to the quarterback situation. But the situation is, they're here, he's here, he's staying. They need to make sure that they get better coaches and they better do a better job of drafting and developing than they've done recently, because it hasn't been all that good, generally speaking. There have been some good picks in there, but not enough of them, especially high-end picks.
So what I hear you saying is they're stuck with him because of the contract, and I would say in professional sports, especially a multi-billion dollar industry like this, and especially a franchise that should be awash in rich ownership, when I think of people like Thomas Tull, for example, they should be able to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and a contract shouldn't tie them to a coach. Do you think Mike Tomlin should be fired? I do.
I think that at this point, probably a good change would be in order, but it's not going to happen. So I think we waste our time talking about it, to be honest with you. I mean, you can say that all you want. People have said that for years. You could have made the case 3 years, 4 years ago, 2 years ago, last year. It just hasn't happened. The Rooneys believe in what they believe in, which is stability at the top. But again, if it's not working, you need to make adjustments along the way, and serious adjustments.
I don't think we're wasting our time talking about it. I think this is the time, and I think they need to make this move, and I think that ownership, the real ownership, the people financing the team, should be putting the pressure on Art. And Dulac's story said, you know, the plan right now is to stick with Tomlin. Well, plans change, and sometimes Jerry's sources aren't right, you know, like the time that whoever told him there was zero chance the Steelers would draft Kenny Pickett, and Mike Tomlin only had eyes for Malik Willis. So I don't know if Jerry's sources are right in this case. I'm sure somebody told him something, but plans can change. I think this is the only topic in town.
Should Mike Tomlin be back?
We've hit bottom.
Should have not extended him last year. I thought that was the right play, because then it would have opened up everything now. And now you could have figured out what you wanted to do. And it has to be, I think, a mutual
thing.
Well,
why are they tied to the contract? I don't get it.
Well, it's $48 million. That's why.
Pocket change for the people, a guy like Thomas Tull.
Maybe you think so, but that's the reality of the situation. They're not going to move on for it unless Mike comes to him and says.
So let's be clear about what you're saying then. The Pittsburgh Steelers will settle for this kind of, I would call it, high-end mediocrity because they owe the head coach money. Is that right?
Well, I mean, that's what they've done, so they're not going to move off of it. But his beliefs are that he can right this ship, not unlike what Bill Cowher went through when he went through three straight years of sub-500 football and they extended him.
Have we seen clear evidence that he can't right the ship? Because I'm finally on board with that.
I have not seen any evidence that they're going to get better using the formula, whatever they're using. That's why I said they have to intervene and do some things that strip some power, for lack of a better phrase, away from him, I think. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it.
I mean, didn't they kind of already do that by bringing in Andy Weidel? Is Tomlin's power the same in the draft? Does he have all the powers he ever did?
We don't have all the answers to that, but everything I've been led to believe is that's the case.
What's the case?
That he has a lot of say, if not the final say.
Well, definitely the final say on draft picks, I would guess.
You can look at some of them recently and question a lot of them. And players who were on the board that they didn't take, maybe they should have taken. So all I'm saying is, I think they need to, and here's the other thing that struck me the other day, watching that game, knowing how Baltimore plays. They have a run game coordinator. They have more coaches. They have, obviously, I think, better coaches. And the other thing they're not afraid to do is make changes, even in season if necessary.
Well, they found their quarterback, too, which makes a big,
after
huge...
After the Steelers passed on him. Not that he would have had the success difference here that he's having there. I don't know that. But they have more people in place to do different things, to come up with schemes that work. To me, when I look at the Steelers, I don't think they were well coached in terms of preparation to this. I don't think they were well schemed. I think it was the same.
73-0 would speak to all that.
Right. They said they weren't going to necessarily die on that hill. Well, that's exactly what they've done. They've not changed. I thought this game, and I said to you last week, they were going to come out and pass the football all over the place.
Who do you think fired Matt Canada?
I believe that's pressure from the top.
There you go. Yeah. So they've already lessened Tomlin's powers in key situations like that. Bob, there's nowhere else to turn. The GM has changed. The quarterback's changed like a revolving door. The coordinators change. Everything has changed. Tomlin's power has been lessened at least a little bit. He's been told what to do, if you believe that, with Arthur Smith or with getting rid of Canada. There's nowhere else to turn anymore. That's the other thing as to why I've arrived at this place where I'm definitively saying that Tomlin needs to go. There's no other change you can make that's anything but cosmetic. Everything's changed around him. It's him. It's him. 73-0
But
they haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 8 years.
I know. And this was almost predictable that it was going to happen the same way. So I wasn't surprised by that. What I was surprised, to your point about what Herb Herbstreit said, that what the hell are the Pittsburgh Steelers?
They quit on it.
I mean, that is, to me, if there's anything that you would draw as an ownership group and look at and say, wait a minute, what? You hear these comments, people are talking about it. It's out there. How can this be? That's the one thing that I think I've heard before over and over from Art and others in that organization is this team does not quit, which has led to this non-losing streak. Okay, fine. Well, in this postseason game, it appeared to be that way. And that's not a good look at all.
The argument for Tomlin, other than, as you say, they're stuck with him, which I don't think is, frankly, much of an argument. I don't.
You don't think it's real that?
They may think that way, but it's a horrible justification when you have billionaires at the top there, or at least one billionaire, to owe a guy money. What about looking into trading him? What about trying to get him to waive his no trade clause?
Listen,
what about telling Mike you'll have no power?
The way it goes is for it to ever end, it's going to be a mutual thing. And it may be him generating that original thought. Who knows?
Especially if you go to him and say, you'll have no power over coordinators.
And that may be a play that they may make, seeing what his reaction to is, you know, and then,
right.
then you move forward with that.
Right.
I don't know. But it's going to take a mutual kind of situation for it.
Sure. And it'll never be announced as a firing. It'll be a Belichick type thing. But isn't that the point? Isn't that the point when people around the NFL say, oh, my God, you'd fire Mike Tomlin. How could you possibly do that? Andy Reid was fired. He's now one of the five greatest coaches in the history of the league.
Doug Peterson was fired twice.
Bill Belichick was pushed out of New England. That's a fact. They didn't announce it as a firing. They didn't want him anymore. And he wasn't coming back. These things can be done in those ways too, but it's just time. It's time. I mean, I call it high-end mediocrity. The people who do defend keeping Tomlin say he overachieves with this team. The question they never ask is why are they constantly in a position where they have to overachieve because of low expectations? Why do they have low expectations? Why does nobody expect anything from the Pittsburgh Steelers anymore? And therefore, the standard for Art Rooney has become, if we barely exceed low expectations, that's good enough. What nobody seems to acknowledge is that Tomlin himself is largely responsible for the low expectations that greet the Steelers every single year. So when he goes out and wins 10 games, when the over-under is 8.5 and gets blown away in a playoff game, you have people out there saying he overachieved. It's a crazy cycle, and I'm done with it. And I think most reasonable observers are done with it, except for Art, apparently. It's just time. It's time. We all saw what happened the other night. It's not changing. It's 8 years. Do you know how long that is? And it's like dog years, the NFL. That's like a million years in the NFL. Jimmy Johnson, Vince Lombardi, John Madden, they all crafted Hall of Fame careers in about that time, 9-10 years. Vince Lombardi coached 10 years in the NFL. It's a lifetime. And they have not, we need to stop phrasing it that the Steelers haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. Better phrased, the Steelers haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 8 years. And by the way, for people, and we're going to hear Kyle Brandt, and I love him, and he was really good on this. But people, he also spouted the line, hey, if another team, you know, wants to make the playoffs every year, you can get Tomlin. Shouldn't be good enough in Pittsburgh. He doesn't make the playoffs every year. In this 8-game skid, they've missed 3 times. That's almost 40% of the time they've actually missed the playoffs. So we have to get real with the Tomlin situation. It's time. Limits, your thoughts.
You know, Chuck Knoll went only 3 years in a stretch where he had not won a playoff game. Bill Cowher, two. And there was constant pressure and constant noise, especially late in their careers, to move on. It's now been 8 years for Mike Tomlin. I mean, just think about all the years that have gone, all the things that have gone on in the world since the last time that the Steelers had won a playoff game. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed multiple coordinators, especially offensive coordinators that have not worked at all. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed general managers. And the one constant that has not changed is Mike Tomlin. And a big part of that is the culture that's built and the failure to accept offense. As the NFL continues to move on forward in the direction towards offense and star quarterbacks win in this league, the Steelers are still stagnant, spending $130 million on their defense and not committing significant resources
his defense,
on offense.
Let's be very
and
clear.
And it's Mike Tomlin's defense.
And by the way, that defense has not been anywhere near the money they put into it. It just hasn't been.
No. Entirely.
That was the most embarrassing show of defense that they've had, I think, in this entire stretch. And
maybe
you can
in Steeler history.
Extend it back.
Maybe in Steeler history.
But if you it's actually 3 wins in 14 years.
If you want to talk about control.
It makes it sound even worse.
If you want to talk about control, Mike Tomlin still has significant control over this defense to the point where Brian Flores likely did not stick around because Tomlin's influence and Terrell Austin could just be the figurehead for the defense while Tomlin continues
you're
to
right.
run it.
That's Tomlin's baby. And the Steelers are the only team in the history of football to go 3 straight playoff games giving up 40 points or more. That was 2017-21. And I think we would all agree that if Lamar wanted 40, he could have gotten it. And if Josh Allen wanted 40 last year, he couldn't have gotten it. He could have gotten it pretty easily. That's Tomlin's baby. That's, I guess, if you want to say, go hire an independent defensive coordinator and that's what they're going to do, fine. They've already changed coordinators. They've changed everything except the head coach. It's just, it's so obvious right now. 412-928-9370, 928-9370, off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. It's all Steelers all the time. Bob, even when they get in, every time they get in, they're a double-digit underdog. They're just like barely hanging on the outskirts. If this was, you know, what was it, 8, 9, 10 years? If this was the old playoff system, they wouldn't get in more than half the time. So they barely get in, and then they're an afterthought as a double-digit underdog, and then they get blown out. So is that really making the playoffs? Like, are they really what you would term, they're a playoff team all the time? No, they're not. They're a group of five team that gets into the college football playoff, and nobody takes them seriously as a team that can win it all, and they're immediately dispatched in blowout fashion. That's the best you can say about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not for 3 years, not for 5 years, for 8 blanking years. And I think Art's afraid. I think Art's afraid of becoming like the Cleveland Browns. He's living in his fears at this point if he keeps Tomlin. He doesn't want it. Oh, it could be worse. You know, we could be the Browns. We could be the Arizona Cardinals. We could be the Jets. Well, Art, you're down to about a handful of teams that have gone longer without a playoff win than you have. You're already them. You're already them. Except that you live in a world of high-end mediocrity. They live in the world of low-end, you know, abject failure. He's afraid, Bob. I think that's the case with Art.
I don't think he's afraid. I don't. I think he knows that they've had very good success hiring coaches, and whoever it would be next, that it would be a complete search to find the guy who would be best suited. I think it would change to an offensive guy because that is, I agree with Austin there on that point. They have not embraced the evolution of football, which is to be more offense than defense. Yes, you need a good defense, but you can construct a defense without a bunch of high-paid guys. You certainly can if you look around the league. There are teams like that. So I think the offensive side of it, I don't think he's afraid of it. I just think he still believes that Mike Tomlin's traits are good enough to get a team. But then again, when you look at what's happened, if motivation is getting a team ready, if those are two of his big traits, then it hasn't worked here for the last several times they've been in the playoffs. So
I think we'd say it doesn't work anymore. It simply doesn't work anymore. Mike Tomlin, for his first 5 years, was an A-plus coach. It's been a long time. It's been 13 years of C-plus stuff, at best, in my opinion. and they can go find somebody else who can not be competitive in a single playoff game over the next 8 years. I'm convinced they could find somebody who could do that or maybe be competitive in one. Like if the bar is, could we go hire a guy who one time in the next 8 years, so before 2032 or 33, could be competitive in one playoff game, you will have upgraded.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So, but I don't think he's afraid to make the move. I think he still believes that he has the right traits that he needs from a head coach. You can argue that all you want, but that's what he believes.
Well, he's either afraid or delusional, one of the two.
Well, whatever you want to classify it as. But again, I think we'll find out in this next offseason how much he thinks there should be change. And if there's a lot of change to their coaching staff, which I suspect there will be.
But what difference does that make, Bob? They've already
I'm just telling you, that's what I would expect moving forward.
So would I.
You know, the thing that's disturbing here, too, is this quarterback situation. When you look in this division and you see Joe Burrow at age 28 and Lamar Jackson at age 28,
yeah,
these guys are going to be here long term. You have to deal with them. How are you going to deal with them?
Not well.
And that doesn't even count Cleveland, which I don't expect them to make a rousing turnaround, but I do expect them to get better somehow, some way, because they can't get any worse. And the AFC in general is loaded with great quarterbacks. So where do they go from here?
How much pressure would there be? With Washington, who has lifted a franchise, Jaden Daniels. And now they've snapped their playoff winless streak, by the way, so that's one more team.
Bo Nix is another guy. I think Denver got the better of the deal for Wilson. At the time, people thought, okay, how are you getting rid of this guy who's got such a big resume? Well, Sean Payton made a decision. I want something better, and I'm going to look for it, and I'll find it in the draft. And so far, 1 year, I know they got eliminated. It didn't look good yesterday. But their opening drive was a touchdown, which to me tells you they
had something schemed. No, I'd take Bo Nix in a second as the Steelers franchise.
But they made that decision, and I think this is something they chase and will continue to chase until they figure it out. And that may be a while.
Art Rooney apparently is set on Mike Tomlin returning as coach. How does that strike you? How does that strike you that the Steelers living in a world of high-end mediocrity, an afterthought and non-competitive and coming off a game in which they quit on their head coach, in which Najee Harris afterward intimated that it's a broken apart team? He said the media did it, Bob. I may have to blame you or Kabali. Is there one media guy who broke up the Steelers?
Did he really say that? I didn't see that part of it.
We'll listen to that, yeah. He basically said, because he said the media, the outside noise tends to break up teams, and we couldn't deal with the outside noise.
But they're the ones who say the outside noise doesn't get to them.
Therefore, Najee said we were a fractured team, in so many words. He said that. He admitted that on the way. It sure looked like it. The finger pointing at the end that we saw among players on the field.
I think Michael Brewerly blames Pony for all of it.
Is it Pony's fault that this happened, Bob? Is he the media guy?
I don't know. Michael Brewerly. What's his name?
Michael Brewerly. He blames Pony. He's always in Pony's mentions.
He's George's burner account, we think.
Is that fair to say?
That's what we think, but I'll push back on that a little bit because the burner account tweeted 10 minutes after the game. And I was like, is George Pickens immediately going on his phone and tweeting from
his
burner account?
I don't care if the burner account tweeted during the game. That could still easily be Pickens.
It could be him.
That could be Pickens on a pass pattern tweeting.
Like when, what was his name? The Pirates player, Rodolfo Castro, lost his phone at third base and slid out of his pocket.
Right.
That's what George is doing.
There's one story in this town today. It's Mike Tomlin. At least he's by far the lead story. Jerry Dulac reporting. And the headline is, Steelers don't plan to move on from Mike Tomlin despite another one-and-done postseason. I've reached a place where I'm saying it out loud for the first time. The Steelers need to fire Mike Tomlin. Couch it any way you want. Find a way to trade him. Tell him his powers will be, you know, basically unilaterally stripped and see how he reacts to that. I take no joy or glee in saying this out loud, but as I open with, it's just so obvious at this point. It's just so obvious from watching the game the other night. It's time for a divorce. We're not talking anymore. All we do is fight. It's not worth it to stay around for the kids. I mean, it's so damn obvious right now. I can't believe that even Tomlin and Art don't see that. Like that they're not in a room this week saying, you know what? It was a great relationship, but it's done. It's obvious. Let's move on for me and for you. for both of us so we can live happy lives apart. It's just so obvious. That's my take. Bob, your take is they're pretty much stuck with Tomlin and you wouldn't make the move yet.
I don't think they're going. You're asking me what I think they're going to do.
I'm asking what you think they should do.
It's already, I don't think they're going to move off from that, at least not now.
Should they?
I said last year that they should have let it go until this contract expired and make a decision. That's the way I felt it was going to go, which if you look into what that means, is I would have seen how this season went and then discussed my
further options. But here we are. That didn't happen. So here we are. What would you do if you were Art?
What I would do is I still have 3 years of a contract. I'm going to, as I said, have a discussion with him, say we have to make some changes, and hopefully you're on board with these changes. And if he's not on board with these changes, well, maybe that leads to what you're suggesting. I don't know. But I don't think they're going to move off of it. They signed it. I don't think they will. I don't think they should because they signed it. So I think they're going to stick with what they have and see if they can make adjustments. And they have to be big adjustments that are forced maybe upon him. And we'll see.
Wonder Twin says it's time to move on. 412-928-9370.
Now, one thing for me, Joe, I wouldn't fire Tomlin. I would do everything possible and even work with him if that's what it takes, because he has a no-trade clause, to trade Tomlin and acquire some assets for him.
Well, that would be ideal, but short of that, saying if you can't do that, you'd keep him?
No, if you can't do that, then I would fire him.
So you are saying you would fire him?
Yes, but the first thing I would do would be to try to get something back in a potential trade, because somebody would trade for
him. What did you think of Jimmy Johnson said?
What'd he say?
You didn't see what he said?
No.
He said he would suggest a trade between Mike McCarthy and Mike Tomlin. He said both teams are stale. Shake it up. Trade head coaches.
So would Mike McCarthy?
No, I like all these guys. I have a lot of respect for all of them, knowing what they've done over their careers. But no, I would go, I think an infusion of young offensive vision is necessary.
Yeah. Here. Me too.
So
they also have Arthur Smith signed. So are you resigned to them keeping him too?
We talked about this last night. I would not be at all opposed to moving on, because what I saw at the end was similar to what we saw with Matt Canada, to be honest, if not worse at times.
Do you think they will? You think they'll fire Arthur Smith after 1 year?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
I wouldn't be against that, just to bring in new vision. That's all. And it has nothing to do about those guys personally. It's about what the result is.
His offense in some ways was worse than Matt Canada's.
That's what I said. It got worse as the year went on. And I don't know how much of that is Mike Tomlin telling them how they should play the game. And if that's the case, again, that comes to overseeing everything to the point where it's too much.
Everything comes back to Mike Tomlin. And by the way, if you're going to strip a head coach of all his powers, then why still have him anyway, Bob?
The only reason they would do that is to make it so that it's a mutual thing, so that they can somehow maybe even get out of the contract they signed. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
They're
going
to be judged accordingly if this year goes in the same direction. You know, this is a conversation maybe next year they have, because it's, you know, 1 year later. I don't know.
I'm done with the conversations myself. I think that Art is deathly frightened of becoming the Cleveland Browns or the Jets, when in fact, by the way, ironically, sinking to that level for a year or two would be the best thing for the Steelers. I think he's afraid or delusional, one of the two. And he's stuck in this idea of stability. And at this point, it's just stability for stability's sake. He's gaining nothing from the stability, nothing. And they're not winning divisions. They're not winning playoff games. They're doing nothing but getting laughed at on national television. Why don't we finish this segment, 412-928-9370, with Kirk Herbstreit and what the entire country heard. I mean, this is pirate level. This is pirate level. You have all of baseball looks at the Pirates with scorn and dismissiveness.